From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Thank you. Thank you so much. From one end of this state to another, I am so greatly appreciative because today you sent a message. In America, when we stand together.
That was the former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton after winning the South Carolina primary this past weekend.
When we stand together, there is no barrier too big to break. We've now gone through four early states, and I want to congratulate Senator Sanders on running a great race. And tomorrow, this campaign goes national.
Clinton's win in Saturday's primary had the talking heads Sunday predicting that the win meant that she would be the party's nominee for this November's election. Clinton's 75% of the vote bested Obama's 55% win in 2008. At that time, this is what Clinton had to say.
You know, I want to congratulate Senator Obama tonight, and I want to also thank the people of South Carolina for welcoming us into their homes and their communities. And I want to tell you how excited I am that now the eyes of the country turn to Tennessee and the other states that'll be voting on February 5th. So millions and millions of Americans are going to have the chance to have their voices heard and their votes counted as we kick off the next 10 days.
For more on that, we spoke with Dave Lindorf, journalist and author who maintains the website thiscan'tbehappening.net, where last week he posted an article, "Who Cares About Democratic Primary Results in South Carolina, a State Democrats Will Lose in November?" We spoke with him via Skype Sunday.
The mainstream media has been beating up on Sanders ever since they decided to notice him in December when he started really taking off in the polls in different states and nationally. You know, their role is to make sure that nobody who is really seriously challenging the establishment powers gets through to be a nominee, and the and they're aided in that, of course, by the Democratic Party leadership, which wants a neoliberal of the Clinton ilk to be the candidate, not somebody like a McGovern or a Bernie Sanders. Yeah. So what I was writing about is that, you know, they were the whole storyline in the media has been momentum and the sort of inevitability of Clinton, which was upset a bit with the Iowa performance of Bernie Sanders and then of course New Hampshire. So they're trying to deal with the fact that the polls are showing Bernie Sanders is actually nationally more popular among Democratic voters or likely Democratic voters than Hillary is.
Right.
And so they have the advantage that they already, ever since the McGovern fiasco, when they didn't want him and were stuck with him and then undermined him, they, to avoid that in the future, they did two things. One was they put in these superdelegates. 15% of the total delegates are these party hacks and elected officials. And then the other thing they did was that they stacked the primaries so that there'd be a huge number of them in the conservative South, where the Democratic Party is composed of people who are not normally prone to vote for a more radical thinking candidate.
Right.
So what we're seeing now is the main part of that coming up, the Super Tuesday, but the first one to be this kind of backstop against liberals and radicals is South Carolina.
Yeah.
And So to call that, what I was addressing in this article was the concept of momentum being applied to South Carolina, because South Carolina is a very unique state. You know, as I pointed out in the article, it's one of the most conservative states in the country, also one of the poorest, also one of the most apartheid states in the country. The black population in South Carolina is truly, truly repressed in a way that you only see also in maybe Alabama and Mississippi. And so for, and I want to make this clear, I'm not being patronizing here at all. I'm saying that the Clinton really rely, she was calling this her firewall. She's being patronizing in doing that. But what I think, and I will preface this by saying that my mother and her whole family are from Greensboro, North Carolina. So I, even though I grew up in Connecticut, I have a good sense of the Southern white attitudes. And what the black voters in South Carolina are confronted with is that they're basically ostracized from the system, except for a few cities in that state. And it is a fairly rural state, so even its cities are quite small. It's got, you know, they're ousted from the state political system that's dominated totally by Republican, white Republicans, crackers, and then it's got, you know, a police system that's largely white and extremely militarized and repressive towards blacks, as we saw with that horrible shooting of a fleeing black man in the back. That on the only reason that's being indicted on murder charges is because of the video that was courageously taken by a an immigrant guy who witnessed it. But the norm is, you know, 200 and some people have been shot, half of them black, in the last 5 years in South Carolina, which is a much higher rate than the nationwide already terrible toll of people shot by police. And they have, you know, horribly segregated schools. They have, they're basically just out of the system. And so for a black person in South Carolina, who wins the presidency, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, in other words, is hugely important because they can't win within the state. So that makes it a uniquely conservative approach. They want to make sure, they don't really care, the black voters in the South, in South Carolina, don't really care that much who the Democrat is that gets elected. It's the important thing for them is that person electable? And because they do not want to have a Republican in the White House, too, if they can avoid it. So right. For them, it's a very rational vote to look at the candidate and say, who's most electable? And you know, Hillary makes that argument. It's not a terribly difficult one to make because normally someone who's calling himself a socialist has never even gotten any press right. in the United States. And that was the attitude that people had last fall about Sanders. So this guy's going nowhere, you know.
Yeah.
And astonishingly, this is the year that American voters are so fed up with the corrupt political system and with the corporate control that Sanders has broken out. And he's, you know, people aren't afraid of his message nationwide.
Right.
In polls, he's, you know, when they do synthetic polls of him and Hillary up against Trump and some of the other remotely possible Republican candidates, Sanders does better than Clinton. Yep. Clinton could lose to Trump.
Yeah, which is a scary thought. And actually, it's sort of counterintuitive to the strategy that you're imputing basically to black voters in South Carolina. And that's also sort of the same type as the argument generally of electability. You know, the Republicans have this horrible person that has to be kept out at all costs, and so whoever's most likely to beat him, by being most like them, by the way, is the one that they have to nominate. And it's sort of like South Carolina writ large across the party and across the general election as well.
Yeah, and you know, and in fairness, it's not just black voters in South Carolina who are right. accepting that argument that Clinton right. is more electable. I mean, I have a bunch of liberal friends in the community I live in, and I was just having lunch with a bunch of them. And these were all sort of 60-ish white guys. And they, to a one, and these are all liberal guys, and they all said the same thing to me just last Wednesday. You know, well, yeah, but Bernie doesn't have a chance. You know, I'd say half of them really like what Sanders is saying, but they all say the same thing. Oh, if I could vote for him, I would. But you know, I don't want to just vote for somebody who's going to lose. And you tell them about the polls that show right. him beating Trump by more than Clinton, and they go, but that's just, you know, that's a fantasy. Nobody believes it.
Yeah.
So for, and for, you know, for white guys, that's not a great thing, but it's not the end of the world. But I think for black people in South Carolina, it can be a life or death matter, whether you have a Republican in the White House or a Democrat, even a bad, you know, corrupt and lying Democrat like Hillary Clinton. So the point I made in the article is that you can't really look at South Carolina as a sign of anything
right.
in terms of Sanders' future path, because the only thing you could probably say with some predictability is that as went South Carolina, so will go Alabama and Mississippi and probably Louisiana and Georgia. That's about it. Because, you know, you move over to Texas, the black vote is quite minor as a factor. If you go anywhere else in the country, the black vote is very important to the Democrats in a contest with Republicans, because, you know, most of the races run, you know, within 10%
right.
In one direction or the other, and the black population is about 11%. Right. If you get them all coming out, as they did for Barack Obama, you win
right.
Because you win New York, you win Michigan, you win anywhere that there's a large urban black population. And in Barack Obama's case, you win a couple states in the South because everybody comes out and votes for you. But that wouldn't right. be true for Hillary in a general election.
Right.
But what it does, it doesn't tell you is how Democratic primaries are going to go, because the in the South, there almost aren't any Democrats anymore. And so you get this peculiar situation where, like in South Carolina, 62% of the voters in that primary were black.
Right.
There's no other Democratic primary you could find outside maybe Mississippi and Alabama where that would be true.
Right.
The black vote is going to be a significant but much, much smaller share of the Democratic vote in a state like New York or Massachusetts or Michigan or anywhere else. Okay. And so, you know, Hillary doesn't have that same cushion. Plus, as I also said, if you go into the North, the black voters are not going to be as uniformly focused on the electability of Clinton, because
right.
their lives are not
right.
as urgently dependent on getting a Democrat in the White House.
Right.
They have control of city council seats, sometimes majorities of city council seats in big cities. They have elected black mayors. They've integrated police departments. They've done enormous progress in places where they were since the great migrations, you know, that of people leaving the plantations and the tenant farming to move to the urban north. They have made great strides in taking power, or at least partial power, all over the West and the Northeast. So, and in Illinois. So, it's going to be a different story for
right.
Sanders if he can get past this Super Tuesday stuff, where
right.
you're all focused in the South and the Democratic Party is half black.
And part of that will actually be on Super Tuesday. For example, in Massachusetts. Okay, South Carolina, 2008. Was Obama 25, Clinton 12, and Edwards 8. And he was a favorite son, but he was kind of out of it at that point in time, right? So that's let's give all of Edwards to Clinton. It's 25-20. Yesterday was Clinton 39, Sanders 14 in terms of delegates, or in terms of the vote, it was 73.5 to 26. Going into Tuesday, we're looking at Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia for primaries, caucuses in Colorado and Minnesota, and American Samoa. But let's go like to Alabama first. In 2008, Alabama was, where were we? We had the list. Who got 2008 Alabama? Let's see. That was Obama 27, Clinton 25.
Okay.
Which means the black vote was not so significant in Alabama, despite the fact that it is large. It wasn't so blocked to Obama.
Well, for one thing, it's more unionized. I don't know what impact that'll have, because Clinton gets all the endorsements from the leaderships of the unions, and the rank and file have tended to be rebelling. But if the unions, as is true in South Carolina and in a number of unions in the South, tend to be mostly black people, it may be still Hillary territory. I would suspect that the same arguments that have worked for black voters in for Hillary in South Carolina are going to apply in Alabama and Mississippi.
Okay, and then all right, next one is Arkansas. That's Clinton's.
That's going to be interesting, yeah. Because that's the home turf for the Clintons, and I don't know whether that's good or bad for them.
It was 20. It was 27-8 Clinton over Obama in 2008. So, but who knows what's happened since? I mean, she had a chance to play on a national stage, and we don't know how that plays in Arkansas. All right, Georgia, you have in 2008. Georgia was 60 Obama, 27 Clinton.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a little bit more, depending on how much campaigning. See, the other thing is Sanders hasn't got a level playing field because he came late to the game, so. But I think there's better media. That was another problem for Sanders. The media in South Carolina is basically cracker media.
Yeah.
And you've got a big urban center in the form of Atlanta in Georgia. So right. Atlanta is a much more cosmopolitan, urbanized, large city. So you may have a more dispersed black voting that looks at other issues than Clinton's electability. Blacks do have some power in Atlanta politics. They've elected black congresspeople and things like that.
Andrew Young.
It may be more northern in how it more reflective of northern black voting than at least South Carolina. So there's some possibility of a more even break in the voting there.
Yeah.
And the real interesting thing about South Carolina is, from the point of view of who's going to beat Trump, Hillary lost the white vote pretty significantly. I think 55-45 or something in South Carolina. And if you, you know, from the point of view of electability, it's the white vote that's going to count in nationally in a general election, not the black vote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that the black vote won't count at all, but, you know, if you lose the white vote, in the United States in the general election, you're toast still.
Yeah.
So here's Sanders appealing to the white vote that's going to Sanders is not just young white students. It's working class whites. He's pulling away people who are sort of those. Remember, they used to talk about the Reagan Democrats.
Yeah, right.
The blue collar worker, and those guys are going for Sanders.
That's right.
So,
and that takes us to Massachusetts, by the way, where Massachusetts Clinton won last time 55-38, but which indicates again that first of all, the black vote isn't going to carry, and or may not carry. In any event, you can't postulate that it will with any certainty, and organized labor. All of the things that are, part of the constituency that is behind Sanders, and it's a New England state. So, and that's a big one, too. There are 121 delegates in play.
Yeah, I think he's 1% ahead of Clinton in Massachusetts.
So, and
he has the advantage of, his state in Vermont actually butts up against Western Massachusetts. So he's had more news coverage over the years, I suspect, in Massachusetts than in most places.
Yeah. So, and now Oklahoma, Obama lost 14-24 to Clinton there. So that's not exactly going to tell us anything about who the most likely winner is.
Yeah, well, there are not going to be many black voters in Oklahoma. It's a pretty white state.
Right.
So that state's going to get fought out on different issues than South Carolina was.
And then Tennessee, which was 28 for Obama and 40 for Clinton. Again, a lot of unionized labor there, and those folks are going for Sanders. And apparently the black vote didn't determine the outcome.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting. There's still plenty of issues for Sanders because of this problem. If he's got the money to advertise, but he hasn't had the time to get, he really is an unknown quantity to most of the country for his whole political career. He wasn't a big name in Congress because he was not part of the Democratic establishment.
Right.
There. And most of his achievements legislatively were invisible because they were amendments to he was known as the Amendment King because he was very good actually at getting amendments attached to Republican and Democratic bills that were popular with the majority of the voters in the Senate. So he was able to get bills and in the House when he was in the House. So but that doesn't give you visibility. The bill is not your bill.
And now you have, Vermont, which, of course, Sanders will carry. Virginia will be an interesting thing to watch. And there wasn't a Super Tuesday in Virginia last time. And then you've got caucuses in Colorado and Minnesota. With Minnesota, again, a lot of very left, actually, but relatively speaking, out of the states politically.
Yeah, if he's going to do well anywhere, it'll be Minnesota.
Yeah. So,
and in Colorado, because it's a caucus state, a lot has to do with your organization. And I think Sanders has been doing a lot of work, and also his people have been learning a lot about how to do caucuses. The Clinton people are experts at caucuses and have been doing some dirty tactics to win. There's an argument that they really kind of stole Nevada,
yeah,
with the help of Harry Reid.
And Colorado is going to be interesting because the governor there, John Hinkenlooper, was the host as mayor of Denver for the 2008 DNC.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, when Barack Obama came out on top of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And he had to be by their side. So what do you see going forward? What's your prognosis?
As long as nobody holds me to it,
I
don't think that that Sanders has a strong chance of winning this. It's going to be a shocking surprise if he wins the nomination at this point. But I don't rule it out. Those poll numbers that show him more popular than Clinton are interesting because, you do have these big states, California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, where he could do really well if he campaigns well and spends his money well. But he's up against enormous odds. He's got a media that's really using vile, biased tactics to try to bring him down. I wrote about some of those in earlier articles, like the one where they, Times, for example, ran saying left-leaning, their headline was left-leaning economists debunk or something Sanders economic plans, and every single one of the quote left-leaning economists that they quoted was someone connected to the Clintons.
Right, right.
And, and that was not stated in the articles. They were all people who had been in the Clinton administration or had worked with Hillary or had, you know, were involved. One was even involved in her campaign. So that's just dirty.
Well, really, you know what's really telling, dirty. What's cute about that is that not all of them, however, are behind Hillary Clinton. For example, the former a labor department head.
Oh, right.
He's out for Sanders.
Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. Let's take a look maybe next week at what happens on Super Tuesday and see if we can't take a look forward from that point.
That's going to be the interesting thing. If I'll put my prediction this way, I'll couch it this way. If Sanders can capture Massachusetts and Minnesota and maybe Oklahoma and Colorado, he will be a real threat to Clinton going forward from there.
I suppose he adds Texas to that, because there are going to be a lot of people voting in Austin. That you know, you can't breathe without sneezing on a college student in Austin.
Yeah, but Austin is like an oasis of sanity in a state that's insane.
It's true. Yeah, isn't it? All right.
Listen, I'll tell you a funny story. I went to Austin when I was doing the book tour for my impeachment book back in 2006. And I landed, first of all, in San Antonio, which is a military town. And it was just, you know, people were looking at me. I had my impeached Bush and Cheney T-shirt on coming off the plane. And I felt a lot of hostility going through the airport to meet my ride. But the guy that took me to Austin, when I got to Austin, my host for the sponsoring event was the chief warlock for the Austin Coven. and you know, they took me around to after I gave my talk about impeachable crimes. They said, well, let's go to a diner. And I thought, the diner, okay. And we went to this diner, and you walk in, and the entire diner was plastered with pictures and memorabilia from Janis Joplin, because the diner is a live music gig and it's where she got her start. Then I went for a run the next morning. It's a foggy day. It's split by a river. And the guy drove me out and he said, okay, how far do you run? I said, 3 miles. He said, all right, well, you can go three bridges down, go along one side of the river, cross the third bridge, and then run back and I'll meet you here. So I go jogging in this fog. And it's a hot, muggy place in the summer.
Yeah.
And as I'm running back, I see this tall statue of a guy with a cowboy hat on, low-slung cowboy hat. It looked like maybe it was going to be Dirty Harry or something, but it was about a 30-foot bronze statue. And and he looks like he's standing with his rifle at his hand looking east, you know, the rifle standing up off the ground. But as I get closer, I realize, wait, that's not a rifle. That's an electric guitar. And the statue was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
No right? kidding.
I mean, this is Austin. It's not your normal Texas city.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
So you can't really go by the fact that Bernie got a 10,000 crowd out in Austin. He'll win Austin for sure, but boy, the rest of the state, I don't know. He did well with Hispanics in Nevada, and you know, if he really can get the media out there and the word out. There's a huge Hispanic vote in Texas, and I think it's his to get. I don't think they're wedded to Hillary the way the black vote is in the South. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay, Dave Lindorf, thiscan'tbehappening.net, journalist, investigative reporter, contributor to Counterpunch and columnist there. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Don. Bye-bye.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.